Okay, good night of Shabbos. We're continuing with the Maral on Parshas Noach. So we have three Marals on the sheets. Hopefully we'll get to most or all of them. We'll start with number one. So the Pasuk tells in the very beginning of the Parsha, Eila told us, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayo bedorosav es ha-elokim hishalech Noach. So S here functions as im, that Noach walked with God, with Elohim, with Hashem. Rashi comments, Esa Elohim is Salech Noach, that Noach walked with Hashem. Uva Avraham, who Omer, by Avraham, it says, His Salech Lefana, Ayasher, Salachli Lefanov. It says that Avraham Vinu walked before him, that they walked in relation to each other, but not side by side. Noach Hayat Sarach Sad Latomcho, Avo Avraham Hayat Mischazig Mahalech Bitsidko Me'ilav. So Noach needed some level of assistance. He needed a Sad. He needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu, almost like a crutch. He needed some support from Hashem in his tzidkus. But Avraham Avinu, his tzidkus was such that it was inherent, it was intrinsic, and it was independent of any siyat d'shmaya, so to speak, any help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's, much has been said about the difference between Avraham and Noach, and certainly a lot of it, the departure point is from this Rashi, but obviously it needs interpretation on one level, just what in the world does this mean? That so one person needs siyat d'shmaya, another person doesn't. Everyone needs siyat d'shmaya. So does it really mean that? Does it really mean that Avraham didn't need help and Noach needed help, or does it mean something deeper? So the Maral doesn't start by asking that question, but I think his answer does get to that point. But let's start in the Gur Arye here in the first source. Maral, he says, he explains what it means that Noach needed Hashem. So he explains that Balatar Misayano. So Chazal tell us that if someone wants to become pure, he wants to purify himself, he wants to become a tzaddik, so he makes the first steps, he makes the ishtadlus, he tries to become great, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misayelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. Aval Avram lo hayatzarach lisad. He didn't need the help. Elohim ischazik bitzid kome elav. So he interprets Rashi the way we understood. Aval lishin the kriyas ha'elokim ishalech Noach. The pasuk says that Noach walked with Hashem, that Noach walked along with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eino mashma'usu shakadosh baruch hu hay misaye elav. The simple understanding of the pasuk is not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was helping him. It's that Noach walked side by side with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not interpreted very literally as Hashem helped Noach. If it were to be interpreted that way, I think Rabbi Hartman puts this in the footnote, it should have said Ha'elokim holich es Noach, that Hashem guided, Hashem directed Noach. That's not what it says. It says Noach walked along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you get from there to what Rashi says when it doesn't say it in the Pasuk? V'nireli, says the Maharal, V'fisha ha'isa shechino imo, because Noach had this special amount of Shechina being present with him, he always had the presence of the Shechina with him. He was always directly connected to the Shechina, to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hai Noach davik b'Shechina, he was always clinging to that presence. U'lefichach lo balidei chet. Therefore, Noach was a tzaddik. Meaning, because Noach had this unique amount of exposure and connectedness with the divine presence, because he always had HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him, therefore he really wasn't ever going to come to sin. He never came to do averos. V'zeu asad she'aslo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assisted him. Not that he was molich as Noach, but since he shed his light on Noach all the time, since there was a consistent and constant presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the life before the eyes of Noach, therefore, that was the assistance. Therefore, he never came to sin. Shemisha davik be'echad, someone who is clinging constantly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, e efshar lo lazaz mimenu v'lachto. It's impossible for him to come in avera. It's impossible for him to separate himself. Es ha'elokim esalich Noach. The sa'ad, the siyat d'shmaya, the assistance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him was merely his presence. The fact that Noach clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is why he can't and therefore does not sin, because he's always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, what comes to mind is the term we're all familiar with, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that if a person has the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them all the time, so this is, it's almost an impossibility that they should come to do averos. The Maharal has this in a few other places. In the indented part over here, you have in the Be'er HaGola, he mentions that David HaMelech, it says in the Pasuk about David HaMelech and Shmuel Aleph, that Vashem Imo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. So when the Gemara is talking about the question of how or if David HaMelech sinned in a certain scenario, so the Gemara says, Efshar Sheba Chet Liado Vashem Imo, Could it be that David Melech really sinned so greatly? Hashem Imo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. Obviously, he didn't commit an avera. What do you mean? What does that have to do with each other? So Maharal says, that's the point, is that if Hashem is with you, you won't commit averos. You'll be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu always. That was the reason for, the motivation for, and the ability, the drive to not sin, was the fact that he was always in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. If you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, if you look in the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, so you'll notice one of the critical elements. Rabbeinu Yonah makes this clear. It's one of his steps in the Tshuva process. The Rambam is also clear, and the truth is it's Psukim. The Psukim, the Navi tells us, this is important, that one of the steps, one of the crucial steps, one of the fundamental steps in the Tshuva process is Busha, is embarrassment. And the flip side of that, the Rambam says, is Zichru Es Baracha, that part of the Tshuva process is to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are those two sides? How are those opposing sides? How is there embarrassment on one side and remembering Hashem on the other side? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains this explicitly, but again, it's clear in the Rambam and it's clear in the Psukim as well, that when a person does an Aveira, it's an expression that they don't realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching them. Or they shove that out of their minds. They forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching them, or ignore the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. If we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, if Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, if Hashem Imo, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was real in our lives, we'd be so embarrassed to commit an avera. Who would do it? If a person, my Rebbe always gives a mashal, if a person decides that they want to cheat on a test, so they may cheat on the test, but if the proctor is standing directly over them, they don't have to be a big Yari Shemayim, they don't have to be a tzaddik, they don't have to be a good person, they're not going to cheat if they're going to get caught. If the proctor is watching you, you won't cheat. You still want to cheat, you still have the taiva to cheat, you still know how much it will help you in this world to cheat, but the guy is watching you, the proctor is watching you. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives, if he's watching over everything we're doing, we won't do averos. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, if Hashem Imo, there's a busha, there's an embarrassment. And if someone does an Aveira, it's a lack of shame. It's a total lack of care because they don't think anyone's watching them. They think there's no Ashgach, they think there's no Shechina that they're being davi to. That's when Aveira can seep into our lives. So Esa Elokim Es Halich Noach, the very fact that he was Esa Elokim is what led to the Tzidkus. If you look in the Chidush HaGados here in the second indented source, in Maseches Sota, it's not on the Bar Ilan edition, Rabbi Hartman quotes it, but it's from a different edition, but he makes an important ha'ara. The Gemara in Maseches Sota says that Ein Adam Chote Elam Kein Nichnas Ba Ruach Shtus, that a person doesn't commit Avera unless a spirit of foolishness, unless a disconnect from intellect, unless a person loses his senses. There's no one would ever sin unless they lost their senses. I don't know, I don't hear that. Sometimes it's very logical to commit an Avera. Sometimes an Avera helps us get ahead. Sometimes a person needs cash, so he steals the cash. It may be wrong, it may be immoral, it may be usser, but it's logical, it's not foolish. It makes sense to take money from someone else in order to get your money. I don't see why it's a nichnas bo ruach shtus. But the Maharal says, no, the pshat's like this. If a person has his senses, if a person is cognizant of reality, they can't possibly commit averos because Hashem Imo, because they're always davek bashchina, because the starting point is that we're clinging to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize his presence in our life. If someone does an avera, it must be nichnas bo ruach shtus. It must be he was cut off from his intellect. It must be that the seichel, the nefesh eloki, we always talk about in the Maharal, the seichel means the nefesh eloki, the divine spirit in a person, that intellect must have been cut off from what it's supposed to be focused on, which is that the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. Otherwise, you never would do averos. We'd be too embarrassed. Everyone would understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there, being mashgiach over them. If it's Hashem Imo, if it's Esa Elokim Esalich, there can't be room for avera. That's the difference. That's, let's say, the first side, that Noach HaTzadik was a tzadik in the sense that he always had that divine presence with him, and therefore it wasn't shaykh, it wasn't possible for him to commit averos because he always had that awareness. Continuing it to the same Gur Aryeh, I just broke it up for you into two paragraphs, so continuing after the indent, Aval Avram, remember we're contrasting with Avram Avinu, his halich lefanai, or the other pasuk was Asher, his halachti lefanav. So what does that mean? How is Avram different? Shehoye mehalich me'atzmo. He actually was walking independently. Below also dibuk shchina shahaya imo. He didn't have the same level of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that same direct, intense, constant contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Ki Avram hayim is gaber b'tzidko below also dibuk. He did it on his own. Shai kame pa'amim hayim inase also. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, 10 times, right? Tested, challenged Avram Avinu. V'oz, during those moments of Bechina, of Nisayon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu, Shecht your son, Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha, these tests of faith, Oz Lo Misayeya Lo HaDibuk, Kevan Shaya Menaseh Aso. The Maharal says, at that point, there's no real Dibuk. there's less of a connection, there's more of a distance between a person and the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore Avram retained his tzidkus. He maintained that level of tzidkus, of being a tzaddik, even in times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing him. He's not Es HaElokim Es Halech, he's His Halech Lefanai. He walks before God, meaning even when God separates himself, distances himself, capital H, a little bit, from the tzaddik like Avram Avinu, there's still a tzidkus. He still didn't commit avaros. He passed those bechinos, those tests, even though he didn't have the shechina directly overseeing him, directly connecting him at those points. Now, this is a very fascinating comment of the Maharal, but if you look, Rabbi Hartman quotes in the footnotes this medrash in the indented part in the Bereishis Rabbah. He says, the medrash says that the mashal, the parable, the analogy that will explain the idea of the 10 nisyonos, the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, mashal amelach shayah nasi lematrona, there was a king who was married, yald menu ben rishon v'gersha. They had a first child, and he divorced her. Sheini v'gersha, they got remarried, they had a second child, he divorced her. Shlishi v'gersha, v'kevin shayald menu ben asiri. Once they had the 10th child, niskansu kulam, all the children came forward and said, v'amrulo, they said to the king, he shav elanu, swear to shenatam v'garish zemeinu ma'ata. You've had 10 children, 10 times of divorce, don't divorce her anymore, promise us that you're going to stay married. Kach, kevin shenisnase Avram Avinu nisayu nasiri. Avram Avinu had 10 nisyonos, 10 tests. On the 10th test, Amar Lei Yishav Elisha Ein Atam Venasa Osi Od Me'ata. Avram Avinu finally was able to say, you tested me 10 times already, don't test me anymore. We're close, we're back together, we're staying together. What's the mashal for the tests? Gerishin. Divorce? What do you mean? I mean, on one level, nisayon is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to us and challenges us with something because he's so close to us, because he's trying to us to prove, he's trying to give us an opportunity to prove that we're close with him. But on a certain level, the Maharal is saying, and really the Medrash is saying, a nisayon is also a gerishin. It's also a divorce. How is it a divorce? How is it a get? Because at that stage of a nisayon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not directly there with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes himself a little bit from the picture, at least it's perceived as such, and a person feels a distance. A person feels a keili keili, lama azavtani. A person feels a little bit separated, a little bit further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times. The mashal for that, the Medrash says, is 10 divorces. Because in every time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him, it wasn't the Es HaElokim Es Halech Noach anymore. It was His Halech Lefanai. It was go, be that same tzaddik even when you don't perceive me. Even when you don't notice me. Even when it's hard to believe that I'm there by your side. Even so, to be a tzaddik, that's the level of Avraham Avinu, differing from Noach, even though they're both tzaddikim, but they were a different level, a different type, a different sug of tzaddikim, a different quality because of that differentiation. Noach had the Es HaElokim Es Halech Noach, the constant presence. Avraham suffered through those challenges where he felt the richuk, the distance, and he still maintained his tzidkus. You have here a quote from the Igaris Teman. If you recall, we quoted the Igaris Teman last week, and really every opportunity during every shiur over the last 2 weeks, we've quoted from Igaris Teman. So the Rambam, in his letter to the Jews of Yemen, he makes it clear that the moments of Shema, the moments of persecution, of milchama, of disaster, of calamity, of tragedy in the Jewish community and the Jewish nation as a whole, like the ones we're experiencing now, so those are moments shekola in nazeh in orak nisayon ubechina. The goal or the cause, but the idea, the concept of those moments of tragedy, of calamity, they are bechinas, they are nisyonos, they are tests of our faith. It's in moments of great challenge to our physical well-being, to our spiritual well-being, that we start to have doubts, that we start to have questions, that we start to work on our amuna, as opposed to just having amuna pshuta. It's not that we don't believe. It's that we now want to dig deeper. It's that now we need to work to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That nisayon creates a distance. There's a feeling of keili keili lama azavtani. Nobody should feel embarrassed or uncomfortable admitting that during a time of great challenge, a person feels a richuk, feels a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not real, and we have to overcome it. That is our challenge. That's the nisayon the Rambam is referring to. But it's okay to admit that there's a challenge. It's okay to admit that there's discomfort, that there's a question, there's a worry, there's a concern. It's okay to admit that. David HaMelech says, Keili, Keili, lama azavtani. Half of Tillim is filled with David HaMelech saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from me? Come closer to me. We're allowed to call out. We're allowed to have those moments because they are tests of faith. Like we saw by Avraham Avinu, a test, a nisayon, necessarily involves HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midas hadin, through his judgment, to say there's a little bit of distance and I want you to bridge that gap. I want you to come back to me. But again, a person can recognize that nisayon does create that distance and we have to somehow become his halich lefanai, asher salachli lefanav, that we have to still walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still walk towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though those moments of nisayon are so challenging. In source number two, you have the pasuk tells us kol asher nishmas ruach chaim ba'apav mikol asher becharava mesu. Everything which had a living spirit, Rashi explains over here, nishmas ruach chaim, I don't have the Rashi in front of us, but I think he says anything sheyesh nishima ba'apo, something like that. Anything which breathes, because I think the Maharal comments and others as well, that the neshama, the way we refer to neshama, exists in a human being, not in an animal. So the pasuk must mean kol asher nishmas ruach chaim means breath. Anything which had the breath of life in it, all living beings were destroyed. But the pasuk also says becharava, which means on land, on dry land. So Rashi says asher becharava velo dagim shebeyam. The fish were spared from the death, a certain death of the mabul of the flood. So the Maharal explains in Gurari, you have it on page number 2. If you flip over, the Maharal says that the Re'im, the Rebbe Mizrahi, so he comments on Rashi and says that if you look in the earlier psukim, when the psukim described that even the animals, we know even the animals were mashchis sedarkam. Not only the people, but even the animals. So it says, Chayev, Of, Behema, all of them were mashchis darkam, all of them committed terrible averus before Hashem, whatever that means, but it doesn't include the fish. And because of that, the fish were protected during the Mabul. Okay, so that makes sense, but the Maharal says that just pushes the question back a little bit. Ulefiza Yiksha, second line, Lama lo ishchisu darkam, kamoshe ishchisu kol behema b'chayev of. So the Maharal says, very nice, they weren't punished because they didn't sin, but once you're saying animals sin, so why did the fish not sin? Why only the animals, the beasts, and the birds? Why are those the only ones that sinned and not the fish in the sea? So the Maharal explains, he quotes a pasuk, we'll skip it for now. If you look in the last line over here, Mizeh Tilmod, Ki ha'adam ha'chotei mamrid es kol ha'shruyim b'mechitza shalo. Why did the animals sin? Why did the birds sin? What does it mean? How did they commit averos? Because apparently man has influence on all of his surroundings. Even a bird, even an animal, even though it doesn't have the same seichel as us, even though it doesn't live in our home with us, even though it's not part of the community, it doesn't come to shul on Shabbos, but if we're acting in a certain way, negatively, we have a hashpa, we have an influence on all of our surroundings, including animal life. And because of that, the animals also committed averos on their level because they lived in the same society as the human beings who were doing those terrible things. V'hadagim einam im ha'adam. But a fish lives under the sea. It's a different reality. It's a different metzias. There's a barrier of the ocean between us and the fish. Ulekach lo chatu hadagim. And therefore, they weren't influenced by mankind, and therefore they didn't commit their averos. So you see two things. First of all, or really second of all, you see the difference between living on land and living in the ocean is one in which it's a different metzias. They're living in a different reality, living in a different world. But the important lesson that the Maharal is giving us over here is that we have an impact on not only everyone around us, but everything around us. Every being, be it a human being, or be it an animal or a bird, as long as it lives in our reality, we have a hashpa on it. We actually make a difference in their lives and affect their behavior as well. That, obviously highlights how important it is to realize the effect we have on people around us, meaning we even have an effect on animals, but especially we have an effect on the people around us. They once asked the Brisker Rav, Rav Elva Soloveitchik, so they asked him, how come, it doesn't really exist as much anymore, but it still exists in smaller measure. We refer to them as Amaladika Apakarsim. Amaladika Apakarsim means Amol, it means back in the day, Amaladika, back in the day type of Apikarsim. So nowadays, an Apikar is someone who doesn't believe and doesn't keep the Torah, so they don't keep anything. But Amaladika Apikarsim, again, this still does exist in some level, but not as widespread. Amaladika Apikarsim used to come to Shul twice a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Meaning they didn't keep Shabbos, they didn't keep kosher, they didn't keep any of the halachos, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everyone came to shul. Again, it does still exist, but not as much as it used to. So they asked the Brisker Rav, why is it that they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep kashrus, they don't keep taharas mishpacha, they don't keep anything, and they come to shul on Yom Kippur? So the Brisker Rav says, because we keep Yom Kippur at such a level, we, the Orthodox Jews, we, the frum Jews, keep Yom Kippur at such a level that since we're so serious about Yom Kippur, that has an impact on people who aren't frum. And they'll even come for Yom Kippur, even though they don't care about anything else, because we hold Yom Kippur to be at such a high level. And the Brisker Rav said, if we would keep Shabbos that way, they would keep Shabbos. Meaning we have an impact on the people around us, even when we don't realize it. Because we keep Yom Kippur at such a level, it impacts the people around us who don't even think they're caring or listening or watching, but they're learning from us. So if we kept Shabbos that way, we'd have that impact too. It's unbelievable. The pasuk tells us about Shabbos, Leman yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha. You should keep Shabbos, you should rest on Shabbos. It should be a Shabbosun for you. Leman yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha. Leman, it translates in certain ways in certain places. The Mefarshim here struggle. Leman's hard to translate. Leman yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha. So that? Leman therefore, like, it doesn't really make sense that your animals should rest on Shabbos. Separately, your animals should also rest on Shabbos. The Chiddush HaRim, the grandfather of the Sfas Emes, who we used to quote all the time last year, so the Chiddush HaRim says, no, it's exactly like that. You should rest on Shabbos, lema'an yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha. Your rest on Shabbos, the way you treat Shabbos should be so intense and so serious and so holy that even your animals will pick up on it. Lema'an yanuach shorcha, you should rest on Shabbos to the point where even your animals are going to rest on Shabbos because they're going to catch on that the world is going to be full of a spirit of Shabbason. Even the animals will be impacted. First and foremost, we have to impact the people around us and realize how much our actions impact them. But additionally, it will come to be that if we act in such a way, even animal life is impacted by human behavior. We don't have so much time, but I at least want to point out to you how he teaches the pasuk, and maybe you'll read the rest on your own. But in source number 3, the pasuk tells us vayesh min hayayin, that Noach drank from the wine, vayishkar, he became intoxicated, vayiskal besoch aholo. I don't know, whatever. He rolled around in his tent. So the word vayisgal is obviously difficult to interpret, but it sounds like he was rolling around. The Maharal explains that yisgal, and again, I think we're not going to read inside just to save time, but I want if people do have time to look at this on their own time later on. The word vayisgal, he says, actually could connote two different things, and Rashi is really referencing both of them, and Chazal have it in so many places. He says there are really two sakanos. There are two dangers that a person enters into when they consume alcohol, when they consume wine, when they become intoxicated. First of all, they risk ginai. They risk embarrassing themselves. And the word vayisgal comes from a shoresh that relates to gilui. In this case, it was gilui arayos. Noach became almost involved in gilui arayos when he was drunk. That was what it was leading him to. Once he was drunk, he was already leading to gilui arayos. Gilui means exposing oneself. It means that's the highest level, to expose himself in gilui arayos, but it means to be embarrassed because a person has no, they let their guard down when they're drunk. They don't have any control over themselves and they risk embarrassing themselves completely. So vayizgal, it leads to a gilui in a negative sense. It leads to someone exposing themselves and becoming embarrassed. Hasheni, the second thing that wine can cause a person is ibud ha-chachma v'ha-seichel ha-shayesh ba-adam. It causes a person to lose his intellect. That is the chait of intoxication. I think I once had a conversation about something related with my Rebbe about drinking. I think I had to speak about something related. He kind of addressed the fact that people ask, what's the isser of getting drunk? What's the isser of becoming intoxicated? So then you can't necessarily point to any pasuk in the Torah. So I remember he said, it's the avi avos ha-isurim. Becoming intoxicated is the father of all isurim. It's the root of all isurim. How so? Because an isser, think about what we spoke about before, doing an avera means losing your mind. When a person loses control, they do averos. When a person loses control of their senses and of their body and of their intellect, that's when they do the wrong thing. So it's not that it's an avera to become intoxicated and lose control of oneself. It's the source of avera. It's what causes avera. That's what the Maharal is saying. Ibud ha-chachma v'aseichel. A person loses their senses. They lose their intellect. They lose control on what makes them a human being. Here, the Maharal is something so gevaldic, though. He says, what is a person? We go through this every single shiur we have with the Maharal. A person is his seichel. A person is his intellect, is his seichel haruchani, his seichel haloki, his divine connection to the spirit and also to thinking. So the Maharal explains, again, with very interesting terminology, that a person's root, his core, is his mind, which is his intellect, which is in his head. We're going to skip all the interesting things over here. But he says, when a person loses his intellect, when he forfeits his chachma, when he gives up his seichel, he cuts himself off from his source and he enters into a form of gullus. Meaning he's displaced. A person's place is that he's planted in his head. His head is planted in Shamayim. When a person drinks and therefore loses his chachma, he takes his head out of the picture, which means he's in gullus. He's removed his roots from the ground in this case is Shamayim, he removes himself from his place and he enters into a gullus. And the Maharal says that's the other idea that the word vayisgal is coming to connote. First of all, it tells us there's a gilui, there's an exposure that creates shame, embarrassment in a person when they lose control of themselves. But secondly, when a person loses control, he's not himself anymore. He's not in his place. His mind is disconnected, which means he's not in his home. His home is in Shamayim, where his head is supposed to be. He's disconnected by the Vayishkar. Then it's Vayiskal. He goes into a gullus. He leaves his makom. He's somewhere else. And that, he says, is the other meaning of the word Vayizgal. You'll have to read these on your own because there's very fundamental ideas here and very interesting explanations of Chazal. But with that, we will we'll conclude and just note the two dangers that the Maharal says about the consuming alcohol. Again, is gilui and gullus, and both are contained within the word vayiskal. Everyone should have a wonderful, healthy, safe, comforting Shabbos.